And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. May God...
Seats. As John said, my name's Johnny. Really good to see you here this morning. Good to have a few visitors with us. We're really pleased you've been able to join us. Why don't you grab one of the blue Bibles or look over the shoulder of somebody else who's grabbed one of those Bibles. We're looking at Exodus 20, which is on page 78. We're focusing on the fourth commandment, but we will be jumping around the Bible a little bit, so it'll be really helpful if you've got access to one. Before we look at that, though, I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who speaks. You spoke to the ancient Israelites, and you speak to us as we open the Bible, as we listen to it. Please give us ears this morning to hear your voice. Help us to understand this fourth commandment. Help us to understand how it ultimately points us to Jesus. We pray that we would experience in him true rest. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now, you and I have a serious problem. It's a problem that affects us day and night. It's a problem that affects our marriages and our families. It's a problem that affects us at work and at church. This problem affects us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You and I have a serious problem. And the problem is that we're all sick. Sick with busyness. We're sick with busyness. And I think I can prove that to you. I'm going to ask us a series of questions. And I'd like us to keep a mental note of how many we respond with the word yes. Okay? So how many of these... And there's someone at the door. How many of these questions do we answer yes to? Keep a mental note. It should be easy enough. Here's question one. Do you regularly work 30 minutes a day longer than your contracted hours? Yes or no? Question number two, do you check your work emails at home? Yes or no? Question number three, has anyone ever said to you, I didn't want to trouble you because I know how busy you are? Question number four, do your family or friends complain about not getting time with you? Yes or no? Question five, if tomorrow evening was unexpectedly freed up, would you do either work or household chores? Yes or no? Question six, do you often feel tired during the day, or do you find that your neck and shoulders ache? Yes or no? Question number seven, do you ever exceed the speed limit while driving? Be honest, yes or no? And if you ever eat a main meal while driving, add another yes to your score. Question number eight, do you make use of any flexible working arrangements offered by your employer? Okay, that's eight questions so far. Just keep a mental note of how many times you've answered yes. I've got two more questions. This time, if you answer no, you add a point to your overall score. Okay, so question 9. Do you have a hobby in which you are actively involved? And church doesn't count. Church isn't a hobby, and neither does browsing YouTube or Pinterest. Question 10. Do you eat together as a couple or a family or a household at least once a day? 10 questions. Hopefully you've been able to keep a mental note of your score. If you've scored 5 or more, here's the official diagnosis. You're sick with busyness. You've got the same serious problem that I have. Most mornings you drag yourself out of bed. You start the day's routine hoping that you can just hold your ground. Maybe you can keep the house in a mild state of disaster. Maybe you can break even on the to-do list. Maybe the inbox won't get any fuller. Many of us wake up day after day not trying to serve, but just trying to survive. We haven't even talked about spiritual disciplines yet. We could add more questions to our list. Do you read the Bible regularly? Yes or no? Do you pray regularly? Yes or no? Do you read and pray with your spouse and your children? Yes or no? I wonder if most of us were honest. Many of us would answer, no, no, no. Busyness affects every area of our lives, our marriages and our families, work and church. It affects us physically, emotionally and spiritually. When our lives are frantic and frenzied, we're more prone to colds and infections. We're more prone to anxiety, resentment and impatience. The danger of being sick with busyness is that as Christians, it ruins our joy. That's the diagnosis. You and I have a serious problem. But this morning, we're looking at the 4th commandment, and it's like we're reaching for a remedy. Here's the prescription written by God himself for men and women like us. So have a look at Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. The Sabbath is actually a huge theme in the Bible. And to be honest, I've struggled to get my head around it this week. The Sabbath is established at creation. The Sabbath is written into the law of Moses. The Sabbath is about the promised land. According to the prophets, the breaking of a Sabbath was a major reason why Israel was eventually exiled, kicked out of the promised land. That's just in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Sabbath is a battleground. The religious leaders hated Jesus because he said, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." They hated him even more because of what he did on the Sabbath. It's after one episode on the Sabbath that they start to plot to kill Jesus. And then the New Testament authors write about the Sabbath a bit more. They refer to the Sabbath in their letters. In the letter that the writer to the Hebrews writes, he says the Sabbath is actually all about eternity. So the Sabbath is a pretty big theme in the Bible. And so this morning, what we're going to do is look at 2 principles and 1 person. 2 principles that flow from this 4th commandment in the Old Testament and 1 person that the 4th commandment points to in the New Testament. Okay, so 2 principles, 1 person. You're going to need to put your theological trackies and trainers on because we're going to be doing some jumping around the Bible. Okay, so make sure you can see a Bible. But here's the first principle. The Sabbath is about being designed for work and rest. The Sabbath is about being designed for work and rest. For the Israelites, the 4th commandment was very clear. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. It's a pretty clear commandment. There are 7 days in the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. You need to work for 6 days, rest for 1 day. What the 4th commandment is fairly straightforward. But perhaps the bigger question is why? Why has God included the Sabbath in the 10 commandments? Have a look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. Here's the answer to that question. Remember the Sabbath day, for, or because, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the 7th day. The 4th commandment is linked to creation. In the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, God forms and then fills the universe. He forms day and night and fills space with the sun and the moon and the stars. He forms the sky and the water and fills them with birds and fish. He forms the land and fills it with plants and animals, and finally mankind, the pinnacle of his creation. And then comes Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. So jump back to Genesis chapter 2. It's on page 4. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. I think at least two significant points are being made here. First, when God starts a work, he always finishes it. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, verse 1. The rest that God had on the seventh day marked the end of his creating work. There was nothing more for him to do. The point is, God never quits. He never takes off or walks out or gives up. When God starts a work, he always finishes it. And for people like us, that is a very reassuring truth. Last time we looked at the letter to the Philippians, and we read these words: God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You may be here this morning feeling helpless and hopeless, but if you believe in Jesus Christ, be reassured. God will never quit on you. He will never take off or walk out or give up. He won't rest until his work in you is complete. If he started a work in your life, he will carry it on. He will finish. Secondly, though, the link between the Sabbath and creation is given as a pattern to follow, a rhythm for life. God could have created the universe in an instant. Why not? He's got infinite power. Or he could have created the universe in 3 days and not had a rest. God never gets tired. He doesn't need to sleep. But that's not how he chose to do it. He chose to work for 6 days and rest for one. And this 6 plus 1 is a pattern for us to follow. As part of God's creation, the Sabbath principle still stands. God has designed us for work and rest. Both work and rest have their place. In the Bible, work is commended and rest is celebrated. I wonder whether the difficulty for us is often getting the balance right. Working efficiently and resting effectively. Actually, I wonder whether many of us aren't as busy as we like to think we are. But life just feels overwhelming because we don't follow this sort of pattern. There's no rhythm to our lives. One of the dangers of technology is that work and rest can blend together. We dawdle on Facebook in the office and we catch up on emails in the lounge. We're never fully switched on and we're never fully switched off. That's just one of the problems with technology. We can hustle and bustle with electronic activity and evenings, and I know this for myself, evenings can be obliterated with just browsing the internet. It's almost like we're busy with busyness, like we're content to just pass our time by just passing time. So many of us are engaged with our thumbs, often engaged with our thumbs, but rarely with our thoughts. So I've got a challenge for us as the Village Church. What can we do about this problem? Well, here's an idea. For the month of May, why don't we try 3 things? Okay. Number 1, stop checking emails on your phone. I've just deleted the Gmail app off my iPhone. I'm not going to check my emails on my iPhone throughout May. Number 2, stop checking Facebook for the whole month. Not just on our phones, but on our tablets and our laptops too. Stop checking Facebook. Number 3, have a place where all devices at home go for certain hours of the day. like at mealtimes or bedtimes when mum and dad get home. Why don't we as a congregation take a rest, a Sabbath from screens? Let's have a break. I wonder whether doing that will actually give us a newfound freedom. Not checking our phones is the first thing that we do in the morning. Not checking our phones is the last thing we do at night. The Genesis account also describes how God made Adam. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground. The truth is, Genesis says, is that people are made from dust. And that's a humbling but a healthy truth to remember. It reminds us that we need to rest effectively. We're not Duracell batteries. We don't go on and on and on. We're like cheap batteries that you buy in Poundland. We need recharging regularly. And in fact, we're only useful after we've had a good charge. We need to learn to rest effectively. And I don't think that means sleep all Saturday morning, slob all Sunday afternoon. The fourth commandment doesn't say, thou shalt sleep and thou shalt slob. It says, you shall not do any work. So it means take a break from what you spend the majority of your life doing. If your job involves mental activity, like sitting at a desk in front of a computer, do something manual at the weekend. Take some exercise. Go walking, go running. Do some DIY in the house or in the garden. On the other hand, if your job involves manual work, if you work in construction or transport, do something mental at the weekend. Not mental as in jumping off a building, but mental as in with your mind. If you spend Monday to Friday using your hands, use your head on Saturday or Sunday. Read a book, write a poem, draw a picture. We could read poems out. The point is, we need to learn to rest effectively. The Sabbath is about being designed for work and rest. That's the first principle. Here's the second principle. The Sabbath is about being delivered from slavery. Delivered from slavery. Jump forward in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's on page 184. Deuteronomy is a record of speeches that Moses gives to the next generation of Israelites. This generation, the generation of the Exodus, they spend 40 years wandering around the desert. The next generation is about to enter the promised land, and Moses gives them some speeches. And he reinforces the law. He tells them again, what did God say? And in chapter 5, Moses reinforces the Ten Commandments, except that this time there are a few differences. And one of the differences comes with commandment number 4. Let's have a look at Deuteronomy 5, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. So far, it's the same. And it's the same up until verse 15. But then in verse 15, the reason for the Sabbath is developed. Verse 15. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, because you were rescued, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In Exodus 20, the Sabbath is linked to creation. But in Deuteronomy 5, the Sabbath is linked to salvation. When the people of Israel rested on the Sabbath day, it was an opportunity to remember, to think back to the time in their history when they did nothing but work, when they were slaves in Egypt, when they never had a day off, when life was work, work, work all the time. Sabbath for them was a gift from God. So that they would remember that they'd been delivered from their slavery. This generation of Israelites, the ones who are listening to Deuteronomy chapter 5, they've spent those decades wandering the deserts, and they're now finally preparing to enter the promised land, a land that God has promised to give them, a land that's described as flowing with milk and honey, that's full of everything they'll ever need and everything they'll ever want. The months and years ahead for the Israelites will be busy. And it will be all too easy for them to ignore and forget God. And so he gives them the Sabbath command, a day to remember and to refocus. Sadly, the Israelites do break the fourth commandment. They do ignore. They do forget. They do reject the God who delivered them from slavery. Their faith was derailed. And the same can happen to us. It's unlikely that some big dramatic heresy is going to derail our faith. But busyness and the worries of life, they can derail somebody's faith. When our car needs repairing and our boiler breaks, when the kids need to see a doctor and our bank account isn't balanced, when we're behind on thank you cards or we've promised our parents we'll visit, when exams are looming and we're struggling with revision, when our fridge is empty and our lawn needs mowing, when our washing machine is rattling and we can hear mice again, that's when our spiritual lives can be choked. And the scary reality is, I've not described anything unusual. That's just a day in the life of someone who comes to the village church. The Israelites were given the Sabbath to help them remember, to help them refocus on what was really important, on the God who delivered them from slavery. And we need that Sabbath principle too, just as much as they did. A day to remember, a day to refocus. If you're a Christian here this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you haven't been delivered from slavery in Egypt, obviously. But the Exodus was only ever a shadow, not the substance. The Exodus was like a signpost that pointed forward to another destination, to the greatest deliverance in history at the cross of Christ. That's where people like us were delivered from slavery. Slavery to sin, slavery to death. There was nothing we could do to escape. We all deserve God's judgment. We've all ignored him, forgotten him, rejected him. We're rebels living in his world. But he loved us so much that he gave us his only son. Jesus was arrested so that we might be released. Jesus died so that we might live. And that's why we meet here on a Sunday morning. To remember and to refocus, to look at Jesus and see that we have been delivered from slavery. You see, church isn't a hobby. Church is a hospital. We're all sick, and busyness is just one of the sicknesses. Other sicknesses include pride and lust and selfishness and anger and laziness, and they all ruin our joy as Christians. Many of us here are burdened with guilt and shame. But that's exactly why we need to come to the weekly clinic. Jesus is the greatest of doctors. And he says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls. So that's two principles that flow from the fourth commandment. The Sabbath is about being designed for work and rest. And the Sabbath is about being delivered from slavery. We're now going to look at the one person that the fourth commandment ultimately points us to. We all know who he is. Jesus Christ. The one who destines people for eternity. So that's our third heading. The Sabbath is about being destined for eternity. The Sabbath is about our design, it's about our deliverance, and it's about our destiny. Okay, pull up those theological trackies. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, page 1183. Colossians chapter 2, page 1183. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. Paul is writing to a church, So it's after Jesus has been raised. Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The Sabbath commandment doesn't apply to modern Christians in the same way that it did to ancient Israelites. That's why those first two headings were principles. They're lessons, not laws. It's wise to rest. It's wise to remember and refocus, to attend and belong and commit to the village church. But nobody's going to stone you if you don't turn up on a Sunday morning. The Sabbath day in the Old Testament was a shadow. The reality, the substance is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath rest. A bit complicated. Let me try and explain. Remember back to Genesis chapter 2. God created the world in 6 days and rested on day 7. And God shared that rest with Adam and Eve. And that rest was never supposed to end. It was like Adam and Eve were on holiday with God forever. Then you get Genesis chapter 3, and it all goes very badly wrong. Adam and Eve ignore and reject God, and they're kicked out of the garden. And life was then characterized, is still characterized, by restlessness, hostility, pain, toil, sweat, thorns and thistles. And then by the time we get to Exodus chapter 20, God has delivered for himself a people from slavery, and he's giving them the Ten Commandments, and he's leading them towards the promised land, a country that's full of everything they'll ever need and everything they'll ever want, almost like a renewed paradise. But again, it goes very badly wrong. The people of Israel ignore and reject God, and they're kicked out of the promised land. And then Jesus bursts onto the scene, and he says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." And so what Jesus is announcing is that he has come to give us a bigger and a better paradise. Bigger and better than the one that Adam and Eve experienced. What Jesus is announcing when he says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath," is that he has come to give us a bigger and better promised land, far better than what the Israelites knew. He invites anybody and everybody on an all-expenses-paid holiday with God for eternity in paradise. When God finished his work of creating in the beginning, he rested. When Jesus finished his work of saving at the cross, after he was raised, he was ascended into heaven and he entered his rest. Jesus is in paradise today. And one day all those who trust in him as Lord and Savior will go to be with him. Christian, you are destined for eternity. The Sabbath is about being destined for eternity. Before we finish, though, one more Bible passage. Jump forward to Hebrews chapter 4, which is on page 1203. Hebrews chapter 4, 1203. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands," the writer is talking about eternity with Jesus, "let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." And then verse 11, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." When the author here refers to their example in verse 11, he's talking about the people of Israel. Time and time again, they ignored and rejected God. They were what the Bible calls hard-hearted. And the author is urging us not to be like them. If you're not a Christian here this morning, the promise of entering his rest still stands. It's not too late. Jesus holds out this invitation, paradise with him for eternity, and you can still accept. But if you ignore and reject, if you follow in the footsteps of the Israelites, the consequences, according to Hebrews chapter 4, are frightening. You will be excluded, left outside. The writer uses the word perish. But if you're a Christian here this morning, did you notice what the author says? He says, make every effort to enter that rest. Or in other words, keep going. You're destined for eternity. Yes, the Christian life will be hard. Yes, it will involve sacrifice and suffering. Yes, we probably will be very busy people. It's not wrong to be tired. It's not wrong to feel overwhelmed. It's not wrong to go through seasons of complete chaos.